a realm where the laws and axiom of science, including those of naturalism, can assert their musts about the natural world. In a nutshell, Lewis is saying, whenever you come up with an abstract law that's got a must or an ought attached to it, you're dealing with supernature. You're not dealing with nature. Once you break out into the abstract realm, you are necessitating, Lewis argues, a supernatural realm, something outside of nature that can be the source of this abstract principle. Well, Lewis finally comes to the conclusion that there lies within each of us a supernatural entity called reason, that our human reason must have a source that is supernatural, not natural, but supernatural. Well, then Lewis says, but wait a minute. This supernatural reason in each of us must have itself a greater supernatural source because our reason often sleeps. And our reason can be impaired by such physical substances as alcohol or maybe being in love. In other words, our reason is not always working. So there must be a source above our reason that feeds it, if you will. Well, Lewis's answer is that behind and above our limited individual self-consciousness, behind our I, must lie a greater eternal self-consciousness. Not I, but the I Am, the name God gives to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. So behind the I is a greater I Am, a source of reason that does not sleep or get impaired. Now, for Lewis, we have seen neither ethics, that was lecture 3, nor reason, this lecture, could have been evolved. Now, Lewis is attacked on this, but his argument is that neither ethics or reason could have been evolved. But Lewis goes farther in the problem of pain. In this work, he extends this argument to religion itself. He says even religion could not have been evolved. This is his argument. All right. Lewis begins by saying, it is ludicrous that primitive man, gazing around himself at the pain and suffering in the world, would have inferred on the basis of this data that the universe was created and run by a loving and perfect God. In other words, again, Lewis takes the strongest argument against Christianity and marshals it in favor of Christianity. No, man would not have come up with this. We live in a world that's terrible and full of... How are we going to infer a good God on the basis of our observed matter? In other words, religion must have come from above. No, religion, Lewis says, comes from an inner sense of awe and wonder that Lewis calls the uncanny. Our religion comes from this inner sense, this awe, this wonder, this uncanny. Now, Lewis says, our fear of the unknown, of ghosts, of the numinous, is wholly unlike our fear of wild animals. The cultural anthropologist, the evolutionist, will say that we begin with fear of wild animals, and that evolves into our uncanny, our fear of the unnatural. He gives this example. If I tell you in the next room there's a tiger, you're going to feel fear. But if I tell you in the next room is a ghost, you're going to feel something different than fear. You're going to feel that uncanny, numinous awe. And Lewis argues that fear cannot evolve into the uncanny because they're totally qualitatively different experiences. Think about it. The ghost can't hurt you, but you have a kind of fear, and again, what he calls the uncanny, that is not linked to regular fear. Think about it this way. Though both men and animals can be frightened, only men dread the skeletons of their own kind. Hyenas are not afraid to go to the graveyard. Only human beings are afraid of skeletons. Why should we be? That's the uncanny. Lewis says again, the source of this dread cannot be simply natural. It must have a final source in revelation from above. That's where that final source is. But you know what? Lewis does not stop here. So far, we've just got religion. But what about what he might call advanced religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam? Where do they come from? Well, Lewis says Christianity and other, let's say, monotheistic religions do not come into being until that supernatural leap that made us aware of the numinous is followed by a second leap that links that numinous to the moral law or Tao. See, we take for granted, if we're Judeo-Christian or Muslim, we take for granted that God is not only the source of our religious feeling, but he is the enforcer of the Tao. But Lewis says there is no logical argument that would force you to link those two. Evolution wouldn't have done that. Lewis says there's no reason to believe that the presence that dwells in the mountains